Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to our first Venus Tell class in this Libra Morning Star series that's activating and anchoring the relational goddess expression of the divine feminine into our awareness and also our reality. Tammy and I are very excited to be doing this journey with you, and we have been really tuning into how this is an extra special journey because it's the first time in our lifetime that the Libra Meta Goddess is on the world stage. This is 155 years ago, the last time Venus rose in Libra, and so it's been a long time. And at that time, we were so deep in the patriarchy. We'll talk a little bit more about this in the class. That I don't think she had much of a chance. So hopefully, plus, you know, people weren't really working the cycle. So anyway, I think we're in for a treat. And this is really going to be, we're seeding here the Libra Meta Goddess and the Libra archetype as, you know, through the Divine Feminine for the next 104 years or more, because we will have the Libra Meta Goddess on the world stage every 8 years for about 104 years. So that's pretty exciting. So many of you are in your Venus return. I am. I'm so excited. Many of you have strong Libra on your natal chart. Many of you are here to be part of this remarkable journey as a way to strengthen your relational skills with yourself and others. And many of you are in this, well, all of us who are in our Venus return are in this interesting experience of the shift from Scorpio to Libra. We're going to talk a little bit about that as we go tonight, too. So very exciting. And just this first Venus gate will be on December 3rd. And so if you haven't had a chance to listen to the video on the crown chakra, that's on the class page, then over the next few days would be really ideal if you get a chance to do that, because we're not going to be talking specifically so much about the crown chakra and how that works. It's all covered in that particular video, so that we have more time to work ceremonially with this chakra gate and go deeper into the Venus alchemy mysteries and build on the field of the energy that we have been creating over the last almost 5 years. I am so amazed. It has been almost 5 years since we did our first Venus class.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Like,
so exciting.
It's something to celebrate.
Yes.
Anyway, and it's been amazing. And we just learn more each time. We go deeper each time. It's been just so remarkable. So, so again, just such gratitude for everybody who joins us for this journey. Also, just something for everyone to know is that we are again starting a Venus cycle with Mercury retrograde. I've been having my Mercury retrograde moments today, and Tammy was reminding me to be grateful, and I was.
She really appreciated that reminder.
I'm grateful for the reminder. Still feeling challenged. So anyway, Mercury will station direct on December 6th on the same day as the new moon. We'll talk more about that as well. But we have been experiencing some technical issues with the website today. Some, you know, it looks like we've got a really good recording and everything's showing up well that way. So I think our prayers are being answered there. But if you haven't been getting our emails, you're having any technical issues with the website or anything, please, please, please let us know so we can address that, and hopefully we'll get it all smoothed out somewhere along the line. So this is an initiatory journey. So this is just a reminder that when we're in an initiation process, we can experience all kinds of challenges, and they come up to get our attention and help create awareness around our unresolved personal and perhaps even collective issues. I find that for myself, I still have this pattern of wanting to try to have everything perfect. So I'll be loved and accepted, and, you know, I continue to make progress on this one, but there's still some conditioning that's there, so I get to work with that one. And that's why the grandmother mantra that we're going to share a little later has been helpful for me when I remember to say it. And that is done better than perfect. And I actually said that to Tammy today. So I'm like, practicing. Yes, practicing. So it's part of that journey. But it's not about perfection. Perfection is an illusion. I still strive for it, but I don't use it as an excuse to not move forward any longer. So I have made progress. And so we just want to invite you to realize that if you have challenges or things coming up, you're in good company. We all have those challenges that come up for us during this deep dive and this initiation and this opportunity to let go of who we aren't so we can be who we are. Anyway, so we also just want to encourage you to participate in whatever ways work for you to engage this journey. This is, we're part of this great collective field that we've been co-creating now for almost 5 years that keeps just expanding and deepening each time. And so based on this idea that done is better than perfect, however you choose to show up is perfect in its own way. So, we're creating a judgment-free zone here, inviting you all to remember we're within the power of the group intent, and that is exponentially increased by each one of us. So so we're in a powerful field. And so it should be helpful to us as we go forward. The other thing you might want to watch if you haven't yet is the ceremonial considerations video that Tammy and I did for you. That's also on the class page. And in that video, we talked about really figuring out what works for you in engaging this journey. And we have no judgment one way or another because we just want to support you with what's going to happen. But we would encourage you to at least be a part of the monthly calls or listening to the recordings once they get posted as a way to stay connected to what's going on. So we are recording these classes. You can listen to them as many times as you like. if you can't be on a live call for any reason, then and you're listening to the playback and something comes up and you have questions, you can send them to us. If you know that you're going to have a question prior to the class, please send that to us, ideally an hour before, but sometimes we may have time to check email. And if there's something that comes in, we can do that. So so just again, this is a very personal journey as well as part of our collective thing. So while we really encourage you to be vulnerable and practice sharing either on Facebook or on the live call, it's not necessary to really benefit from this class. So if you're not comfortable doing that, then, please just do what helps you to feel most comfortable and engaged. And, when people share their questions and their, their insights and their, what they get from the journeys and things that we do, it really enriches everyone's experience. So we're grateful for those who do feel comfortable doing that. And if you don't feel comfortable, again, there's no, you don't have to. And you can always send us an email. And if you want to keep it anonymous, we'll do that as well, if you have something to share. So the other thing is that we can have unexpected things that come up, feelings, it can be really wonderfully inspired, exciting, woohoo, and then there can be more challenging times, and we can be anywhere within that process. Sometimes, 1 month might be a better, more exciting time. Another month might be a more challenging time. It also depends on what other cycles you might be having going on for you at the time, as we're going through this. So we just encourage you not to judge yourself or others, and that we can support one another in this journey. And if you're finding things that are triggering you, or you feel tempted to compare yourself to others, just know if that's happening for you, it's probably a good thing and something that you get to look at and also incorporate into your process of releasing as we continue our descent. Anyway, so having compassion. And there's the challenging places often are the ones that produce the greatest results in the end. So just know that as well. because it's coming up so it can be released and transformed. So Tammy, any other logistics that you can think of?
Not logistics. I think you've covered a lot of those, but just to let people know that tonight we have so much. We were just talking about how we have so much to cover that even though we've tried to cover a lot in the ceremonial video and in other videos, so we may be moving somewhat fast, but just know you can always revisit it. And it's just because this is the first one. And I also just want to say, too, that I'm so excited to be able to do this this Venus cycle in particular, in part because my relationship axis in shamanic astrology, if you have ascendant in Aries or Libra, your relationship axis is all about relationship as the path to God. And I've definitely felt that over the course of my life. So I'm so excited to be doing this, and also because Jupiter is on my Venus. So some of you might also have that in this class. I know a couple of you who do. But no, even if you have Aries ascendant, that's also something that kind of makes this personal for you. But I also just want to say that this cycle, for those of you who are just doing it because you want to align with Venus's cycle as a ceremonial journey, it is just so powerful and potent. It is going to be something that I think Kaylin and I both have often said that this is, I mean, it's life-changing. It really is. And it's the other day I was saying to someone, I said, well, this year is going to be like this. And then I realized when I said this year, what I meant was this Venus cycle. And so I realized that now my years are kind of like Venus years. So yeah. In any case, it's kind of like it gets into you like that. But yes, I'm just super excited and to have you all here. And those who are new and who have never done it before, and those of you who have been doing this with us for quite a while, because we have a lot of amazing women here holding space who have been through this initiatory journey. And I just want to echo what Kaylin was saying about sharing what you're going through, if you are able to do that, because there is a big circle of support here that can really hold space. So that's pretty much what I wanted to say, Kaylin.
Beautiful. So now we're going to just begin opening sacred space, because we'll do more of that when we get to the journey later on, but we just open sacred space by inviting our higher selves and our grandmother guides or guide, or however that has worked for you. If you have had a chance to tune into that audio that Tammy has created on connecting with your grandmother guides, to join with us. And we do know that the Circle of Grandmothers does oversee this process, so we invite them to join with us. And we're going to do a couple of prayers or invocations to the energy as we begin. So if you feel inspired, it's in your PDF handout. You can recite this behind, you know, you're all muted, so you can say it out loud with me as I say it, if you feel inspired to do that. And we do encourage you to perhaps use these prayers throughout the month of this gate, especially the one that I'm going to share right now. If you can do it daily, that's awesome. But if you can, you know, if you want to do that, it's really good. So let's just allow our awareness to connect with our breath so that we're bringing ourselves into the present moment. And inviting our higher selves and our grandmother guides and once again to connect with each of us in our sacred circle. And here's the prayer. Beloved relational goddess, knower of your true divine essence, O mighty one of divine authority and divine guidance, thank you for helping me to release all that is in the way of accessing my own divine knowing and divine authority. Thank you for your assistance in restoring the cosmic balance. You who are filled with the power of heaven and earth, mighty in your wisdom and justice, mighty in your willingness to take inspired, decisive action. Thank you for guiding me to release all the ways I feel stressed, frustrated, depressed, hopeless, and/or afraid. Great, wise, and powerful goddess of sacred divine union, guide me in wise, inspired actions that further radiant health and well-being, releasing all the habits and behavior patterns that leave me feeling exhausted, out of balance, uninspired, critical of myself and others. Help me to release the burden of all the ways I do not fully trust myself, know myself, and remember my true divine inheritance. Thank you for assisting in this potent journey of surrender and release. Thank you for your assistance in this journey. It is done, it is so, and we are grateful. Blessed be.
Kaylin, was I muted?
Yeah, you must have been.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. Sorry. New phone. Strange muting function. Okay, this is the circle of the grandmother's prayer. Grandmothers, clan mothers, wise female elders, holders of the vision of a new earth community, beloved ancestors of our spiritual and blood lineage, you whose call ignited Venus alchemy and whose wisdom guides us still. We dedicate our descent journey to you, beloved grandmothers, serving the generations to follow. Through you, we remember our sacred gifts and ancient future knowing, guided by a healing vision of peace and plenty for all. With you at our side, we walk in beauty and harmony, in complete alignment with our soul purpose. We honor you, O grandmothers. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for the role you play in bringing together men and women in honoring the great feminine wisdom, awakening at this turning of a great age. We acknowledge the time is now to step into our full authority as empowered protectors, serving all life now and for all future generations. So I also want to acknowledge that I think we mentioned it's all women, or that I just spoke to women. We do have a man in the circle, so I do want to just honor that. We do have one courageous man. We usually have at least one. And we also know, as we welcome the energy and the insight of the grandmothers and of the divine feminine, that each one of us as women are also have within our circle of support the masculine. Okay, so overview. So just to say a little bit about what it is we're going to be covering, just one of the things is just, again, to remember to watch the ceremonial considerations video, the crown chakra release video. That goes every month. We will basically have a video that we release that will go much further into each of the chakras and how to work with those chakras with different exercises and home play. And the reason we do that is because there's so much we want to cover that is new for this cycle, specifically around what's in the night sky and what is fresh for this cycle. So we want to make sure that you can get all that information about the chakras in that other format. And then also the Venus cycle overview, if you haven't watched that yet, that will help, if this is new to you, that'll help you understand how the Venus cycle works, the mechanics of it. And if you are new to it also, to just don't worry. It takes a little while to fully understand it, but that's okay. It's part of the adventure. You're not going to know everything all at once, and you don't need to. So just to put that out there. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to talk about and explore here is who the grandmothers are. You know, we had this prayer, and who are they? Why are they important? And then also I'm going to explore Jigong Sasi, who is the mother of nations, and how she's one of the representations of the Libra feminine that will guide us, Sekhmet and Ptah, and how they also, Sekhmet, continues to guide us as she has throughout the last two cycles, and she still has a deep, profound presence for us in this new expression. And then we'll talk about how every time we are dismantling patriarchy, and the layers of patriarchal expression of each of these signs and how that relates to this sign of Libra. And then and more about just general overview of what's this Libra cycle about. Then we're going to be talking about what's happening in the night sky over the course of this next month. And we'll talk about what we can be tuning into with Libra Venus, specifically at the crown chakra moving through the sign of Scorpio. Then we'll talk about home play, what it is you might work on over the next month or play with to deepen your insight. And then we will guide, lead you on the Venus and Sky Temple journeys, which we will do every time as well. And then we'll, if we have time, we'll do Q&A. And we may not have very much time for that, just guessing, because there's just so much to cover. Do you want to say anything, Kaylin?
I think you did a beautiful job.
Okay. Thank you. All right, so the grandmothers, who are they and why are they so important for this Venus and Libra cycle? So when we first began in 2014, we began with the Capricorn-Venus cycle. And in shamanic astrology, we see the sign of Capricorn and the new yet ancient expression of that as guided, being guided by the circle of the grandmothers. And one of the ways to tune into them is to say that they are our female ancestors of blood lineage, spiritual lineage. Another way to talk about it is to reference the circle of clan mothers or grandmothers within the Iroquois Confederacy. They really model the principles we see as alive within the Capricorn mysteries. But from that first cycle, we felt that the grandmothers called everyone into the circle, and we have felt that ever since, and so we want to honor them, and they continue to guide us. But just for this, part of what's really powerful about this cycle is to remember, again, to go a little more deeply into this grandmother journey, the U.S. Constitution adopted many of the key features of the Iroquois Constitution, and so that's part of why the grandmothers are so essential for us here in the U.S., and, of course, considering that the U.S. influences, in many ways, everyone else across the globe. So, in any case, the U.S. Constitution neglected to adopt the critical practice of placing the clan mothers at the top of the decision-making hierarchy. And they were the women whose priority it was that all policy serve the earth in the next seven generations. So this Venus and Libra cycle is the first since 1763, featuring a direct handoff from Aries to Libra. So it's a really significant cycle that other cycle happened not long before the signing of the Constitution. And the 2017 August 21st total solar eclipse was aligned with an eclipse that was present at the founding of the Iroquois Confederacy, activating a seed point where we could restore the original spiritual blueprint for the U.S. government. And so we're still kind of within that window. And then what we recently discovered was that the Iroquois Confederacy was founded August 22nd, 1142, when Venus was stationing direct in the sign of Libra. So
actually, this day retrograde. It was stationing retrograde.
Stationing retrograde.
Yeah. And it actually then began its new cycle on September 6th of 1142 in the sign with Libra as the meta goddess on the world stage at that time. So there seems to be a close connection between those two.
Yes.
With what we're doing now. Yeah.
Absolutely. So there seems to be a strong connection in that way. They were really deliberate in the timing of this. They timed it to correspond to an eclipse. And I can't help but think that they also timed it for when Venus was stationing. And so, and interesting that it was in Libra. So there's a connection there. And we are going to skip the next slide. It's a little bit.
But can we say one thing real quick? And that is that the Declaration of Independence, so different than the U.S. Constitution, because that was a few years later, but the Declaration of Independence in 1776 on July 4th was signed when Venus was in a Libra cycle. The meta goddess for that cycle, and it was also Venus was in the underworld. So it's interesting if we think about it that the feminine principles were left out of the U.S. Constitution, and Venus was in the underworld.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely. So there is this deep connection, and you know the way that we can look at this and is that we have the opportunity to bring forward these kinds of Libra values of creating a table big enough for everyone have a place around the wheel, we can begin to also restore the wisdom of the grandmothers as part of our collective intent. That's always part of our collective intent. And this is a special cycle related to that. So I'm shifting ahead now to slide 7, to the slide, and this is about Jigong Sasi, who was the mother of nations. And she's a very important figure spoken of in the oral histories of the Iroquois people. And she embodies, the way that we can look at her is that she embodies a fully realized Libra goddess and also has some of the Scorpio qualities, primarily Libra, but some of the Scorpio and some of the stories. And again, and just to invite each of you as well, we're giving a couple of examples, but every time we begin a new cycle, you're invited to consider who are the historic figures, who are the gods, goddesses, who are the current expressions of this goddess feminine archetype. And when we began this work, it just became so clear that she is such a potent embodiment who also carries the grandmother energy. So she was, when she came to, in these stories of the Iroquois and of their confederacy's founding, that was preceded by a dark age of violence and brutality. So some very dark times. And her home, so there were the 5 tribes that were continually warring. And Jigong Sasi's home was a neutral zone. It was at the crossroads where each of the 5 tribes would, members of those tribes could actually meet. It was a place where, the only place where there was not conflict. So she resolved disputes and she selected leaders within that context. So she was a very powerful peacemaker. And some accounts would indicate that she was also a sexual healer like Mary Magdalene. So we're going to talk a little bit later about how this is a Libra cycle, but there's a strong undercurrent of Scorpio that supports it. And so she also carries some of that medicine. She was also seen as the first clan mother or the first grandmother that we do reference, and we do see them as kind of the seed point for what we're doing here. And she was a co-founder with the great peacemaker in Hiawatha of the Haudenosaunee, and I'm probably not saying that right, Haudenosaunee, which is the name that the Iroquois give to themselves. They don't call themselves Iroquois, of their confederacy. And so many have heard of the great peacemaker, many have heard of Hiawatha. The reason I like to bring her forward is that she's not as well known, and yet it seems so important that her name and her essence be remembered. So Jigong Sasi means new face. It's a name given by Hiawatha, the great peacemaker, who said, "It is in your countenance that a new mind is manifest, and out of the womb of the new mind, new nations will be born." So again, you can feel the way that she embodies the Libra peacemaker qualities, and also, of course, the Capricorn. So we honor Jigong Sasi and call on her in this Libra cycle to help us rise above the brutality and violence and dynamics of polarity and separation, to choose diplomacy and a culture of peace in a time where there's so much rawness, there is so much polarity and division. We can call on her and her energy within each of us to find that crossroads, and that might be the conflict inside us, or it might be the conflict we see outside, that she can support us in finding that place of peace. So if you want to learn more about the grandmothers and participate in, learn more about the eclipse that happened in August and the way I see it, if you engage with that energy now, you can also, there is no limitation around time. You can check out my free webinar here where I interview different indigenous and other speakers to talk about and to actively reset the spiritual blueprint for the U.S. Leading up to the webinar. And then Kaylin and I were able to do this really, really fun and deep conversation and course more about the grandmothers that's part of the Visioning 2020 series, which is, Kaylin, when is that? When are people... They're invited to sign up for that this weekend, right?
They can sign up now, and yeah, December 1st is when the first 4 videos, so it's free. You can also buy it for $27 and support the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School and see it whenever it works for you to look at it. But we did 2 videos. We did a bonus one on the grandmothers too. The link is here where you can sign up. To just get the free replay if you want to support the school and on the videos. There's amazing. There's like 16 different presentations and a lot of bonuses that go with that. So,
yeah, it was, yeah. It's incredible. That is, I've never seen that kind of thing offered for $27. It's amazing.
And the other thing just to say is that this is because the Triple Planetary Alignment, the Visioning 2020 series was inspired by this Triple Planetary Alignment of Pluto, Saturn, and Jupiter in Capricorn coming together for the first time in Capricorn in 733 years, and it'll be 734 more years before all three come together again. And so it is a powerful time to be visioning and planting our seeds and preparing. And so part of the reason we did this whole series was to help us prepare for that. So there's astrology for those people who like that part. And there's also like what Tammy and I did, not astrology, but just how you, how you can tune into, processes and practices that can help you get ready for it. This amazing year of 2020 that implies perfect vision.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, Kaylin,
so,
take it away.
The next slide is you see the pentagram and how Venus forms a pentagram in the sky. On March 31st, 2017, Venus rose as morning star in Aries for the last time. It will not rise as morning star in Aries in 2025. So that was the last time. And now we're having, we just had Venus rise as morning star in Libra for the first time. So it is the handoff between the Aries goddess to the Libra goddess. And what's interesting is it feels so significant that Aries, you know, really stepping into our fierce warrior, what are we standing for? How are we showing up to protect and restore the cosmic order of the planet? And then Libra, how do we maintain it? How do we create relationships and conscious equal co-creative relationships that allow us to maintain that and to enhance that restoration that has already begun, that began in the last cycle? So, if we look at slide number 10, it's a little bit about Sekhmet and Ptah. So we've been working with Sekhmet, starting with the Leo cycle, because of course she's a queen, and then with the Aries cycle, because she's a warrior goddess who is all about restoring the cosmic balance. And when she is complete with that job, what happens is she sees Ptah, and their eyes meet, and they become partners. they are in a divine relationship. And from that divine relationship that they connect with, and you know, you don't necessarily think of Sekhmet as being in a conscious, equal, co-creative, collaborative, cooperative, connected relationship when you hear her story, or you know, the first part of her story, unless you have a chance to hear this part of the story. And they were equal partners. In fact, they have a son named Nefertum, who is the precursor to Asclepius. And there are, they were known as the Memphis Trio, and were all three of them were known for their healing abilities. So I just feel so strongly that this is a model, this story, their story of how they come together, and then they guide. They're not really like ruling Memphis and Egypt. They're guiding through their collaborative ways of being with one another. So this is really a great model for reclaiming how we can do healthy relationship with ourselves, with each other, and for inner and outer healing. Because if it doesn't come from the inside out, it's probably not going to be sustainable. So the next slide, number 11, you see statues of them, the three of them, that are in Egypt, and showing them as this Memphis trio, and to the right of that, of the three of them, is Sekhmet sending, looks like she's sending energy to Ptah. and helping to heal him or whatever. I mean, just, or giving him good energy. Maybe it's, you know, that high vibrational energy of love that she's sending to him. So anyway, so this is just something that we're going to probably touch on more, you know, more as we go along with the cycle, because their story is so connected to what this is all about. So Tammy, you want to do the mantras for the grandmothers? Are you still here?
Yes.
Oh.
I am. Okay, so we just had some mantras that we had discovered or that had been given to us for the grandmothers and for Sekhmet that feel like guiding energies that are supportive, that we remind you to use whenever you need them. So from the grandmothers, as Kaylin mentioned, done is better than perfect. Fun is even better than perfect. And well begun is half done, on our way to more fun. I love that Kaylin came up with those. Capricorn Mars, so she knows something about this. And taking a step in a new direction does not have to be perfect. It just has to be a step. I love that so much. I've got Saturn almost on my midheaven, and boy, paralysis is really easy to step into, but that's an awesome mantra. So the Sekhmet mantra is, and you can find this online, you can find links where you can listen to it. It's Sa Sekhem Sahu. Sa refers to breath of life. Sekhem is sacred power. Sahu is the realized human being. And this mantra suggests the sacred power of our breath, inspires the realization of our divinity within our human form. So that is a powerful thing. And again, Sekhmet is supporting and animating this work. And she truly is. Beyond the archetype that we're talking about, some of the very earliest figurines of the Divine Feminine from thousands, I don't know, Kaylin, if you know the oldest, are lion-headed goddesses. So she is a great mother goddess beyond these stories that we remember.
She's older than most of the that they give her credit for.
She's ancient.
Right? Yeah. And I think one of the things I think about her story and her devouring, you know, and that then them having to try to rein her in and bring her back, that is a patriarchal telling, interestingly. So I really feel like her story is even older than that and more amazing than that. But
and
we don't really know.
What would her story have sounded like when there was equal balance? Perhaps she was filled with rage. Perhaps it was merited, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Her response has been in a time of power of women and men.
Right. So don't piss her off. anyway, so what we've been talking about is how the Libra goddess is maintaining the cosmic balance once it's been restored. So Sekhmet restored it, and then she helps to maintain it. And so that is the opportunity that we have before us at this particular time. And we have a Libra Mata Goddess invocation that's slide number 14. And again, if you want to say this with me as I say it, please feel free to do that. So here we go. Oh, radiant and shining relational goddess, including our personal relationship with the magic of kindness and peaceful coexistence, inspired by your brilliant harmonious love light, guide us in understanding who we really are through our interaction with others. Help us to discover the gifts that are a part of any healthy, collaborative, conscious relationship. Help us to know and personally experience the gifts of cooperation as we step up to co-create a happy, healthy, and harmonious world. Bless us with your guidance and wisdom in transforming whatever limiting beliefs remain around the challenges of hierarchical relating. So even when we are in the roles of either teaching or being taught, of guiding or being guided, of helping or being helped, of inspiring or being inspired, we know our value is never more or less than anyone else. I am remembering I am as valuable as everyone else, no matter what role I am in. Help me to see how every relationship I encounter, no matter how brief or challenging, is a mirror reflecting what is within me and where I am being guided to take personal responsibility for my experience. Help me to know and experience the magic of seeing who I am through the eyes of another, so that I live in relational harmony and balance from the inside out. It is done, it is so, and all heaven and earth rejoice.
That is so beautiful, Kaylin.
Thank you.
I love that. When we created these, we created them for the signs that we had personal relationship with, and Kaylin did that one. And I love so much the one about hierarchical relating. That is so powerful. The Libra Meta Goddess, the another way to look at her is that she invokes relational alchemy to restore peace in a world ravaged by patriarchal separation and violence. And when we talk about patriarchy, to remember, it's not really even necessarily just about men and women, that it's actually also about the separation between us, within, without, the masculine, the feminine, within, without, that there's a kind of violence and a kind of rawness that we're also all feeling now because of that profound split and separation. So Libra's helping us to heal that rawness, helping us heal that wound of separation.
Beautiful, yes. And so as the Libra-Venus cycle is part of the, we could say, releasing and maybe dismantling on the way down into the underworld, dismantling the patriarchy. So looking at slide number 16, we in shamanic astrology see this sign of Libra as a householder sign. Householder meaning that the path of enlightenment or the path, the spiritual path is through having a home, having a family, having a relationship, having a job. It, you know, there's the renunciate life, that is, those are the people who go off to the mountaintop and meditate, or go off to the ashram and meditate. And that's how they are supporting the world and on their own enlightenment path. But for the householder, it really is about being in the world and helping to support the culture. And the culture and for Libra is really about how do we do relationship in a way that is of equal value. Everyone in the relationship is of equal value. So basically, Libra has now been carrying the distortions from the past 5,000 years of patriarchy. And so our opportunity is to personally and collectively dismantle the wounds at the heart of this patriarchal culture that we've been living in for so long. And so a starting point might be to just see where maybe you have any experience around women as property, any experience around do what I tell you to do, so there's no equality. And I literally experienced this not long ago, just I think in the last month or so, in a relationship where a man said to a woman, do as I tell you. I was like, whoa. So it still definitely exists. I don't experience it in my life, but I'm like, oh my gosh. Anyway, so this is something to really consider, that we're dismantling, we're taking down, we're not going to, I know as I'm Venus in Aries, I do not want to be told what to do. Most fiery women do not. Anyway, and maybe other, you know, maybe some women don't mind or don't notice, but I totally notice that. So anyway, also vulnerability that's perceived as weakness, survival of the fittest versus cooperation and collaboration as a thriving skill. So that idea of what have we had to do to survive? And now what can we do to thrive? And you know, doing it together, being in this together in cooperation and collaboration, that is how we're going to thrive. And that's what we really need to cultivate. So as we take down the patriarchy's way of honoring or maybe being conditioned by the idea of survival of the fittest, we activate more of these skills of cooperation, collaboration. And then planet Earth, feminine, indigenous, used as an extractive resource. So we've just, and recently they just came out with a new climate change thing that says we're in worse shape than ever. And so it's continuing, and it's still continuing, and it has got to stop. So there we go.
Absolutely. So I just want to, I love all of that, and want to say, too, that the reality is that some of these things, sometimes we do feel at the root what these deep, like, women is property, do what I tell you to do. It's probably true that for most of us in the circle, even if not all who are here, those things may feel sometimes like they're in the ancient past, but they're, like Kaylin's saying, they're very much not for many women all across the globe, and they also are very much not for the grandmothers and the mothers who live inside of us, who are of our ancestral lineage, the women who we come from, that they had that experience even more profoundly. And so, but so that these are the kinds of things that we can, you know, that may still live in our energy field, you could say, even if it's not our daily experience. And so for some of us, though, who we can honor that we've come a long way in modern culture in many ways for women, although there's a lot still to do, clearly, some of the layers of this might be more subtle. For younger generations, it's more subtle. When you're coming from Libra, you might be codependent, and you might be working with that to dismantle the patriarchal dimension to that. So you're going to encounter, you may encounter the shadow of Libra and the way you're working it in a way that's not refined, that's not masterful. And so it might be really big and bold. You might see these things big and bold, and you might feel it more subtly. This is the time to be letting go of whatever stands in the way of the full expression of empowered Libra.
Yes, beautifully said, Tammy. So on slide number 17, we're looking at what the initiatory journey is about, and this image of the goddess holding the scales in balance, and she's got a sword in her other hand. It kind of almost looks like a lightsaber, but that she will do what it takes to keep the balance, right? So I just love that image. Anyway, so this is really about understanding the importance of healthy relationships, where everyone is equally valued for the unique contribution they bring to the relationship, that they bring to whatever project or whatever anything they're involved in, and that being valued piece, because I feel like that's something that the in the patriarchal culture, the feminine has not been valued, if at all. Sometimes maybe somewhat, but maybe not so much. Anyway. And then learning about the value of co-creative cooperation and collaboration as the basis of healthy relational experience. And, you know, that I've been involved in this collaborative project and this last year. And it's interesting because there are times when we're in cooperation and collaboration, but there are people that, you know, somebody needs to step up and take the lead in a certain area, and then someone else maybe steps up and takes the lead in another area. And so when we collaborate, it doesn't mean that there's nobody in charge or taking the lead and helping to move the energy forward in some way. But how do we do that in a healthy way where it doesn't become like, do what I tell you to do?
Yeah.
So that's,
Okay. Yeah. Something about that, Kaylin?
Yes. Yes.
So, oh my gosh, no, and you're saying that, it's so powerful, because I remember I had one moment in my life where I saw the highest expression of Libra, and when that was is when I was in Peru, and I was with a group of leaders of a group called the Global Ecovillage Network, and each of these individuals represented a ecovillage across the globe, from Thin Torn to other places. They represented those groups, and they were all deeply trained in and lived the skill of consensus making, and they were all strong leaders. So I saw them make these decisions over the course of a day and move these big decisions that would impact each of their communities and all of the big work that they were doing. I saw these masterful people, they were all embodying Libra, making decisions, and it was pure magic. It was pure synergy. Like, I will never forget how that felt in my body, in my experience, to see what people were capable of. It was amazing.
I love that. That's awesome. great example. So then the other piece then is also being willing to know ourselves through what others are reflecting to us. And it's that, like that idea, mirror, mirror on the wall. see myself, let me see it all. And that whenever somebody is showing up, and sometimes the reflection is great, we love it. And sometimes the reflection is not so great. We don't love it so much. And maybe even resist it or want to blame or look at that other person as the problem rather than to see why is this showing up for me? What is this about for me? Always bringing it back to ourselves. So I think that's a big piece of what Libra is about. And then learning how to be a skillful diplomat and a peacemaker that promotes harmony and balance and personal connection. Boy, do we need a lot of that in the world these days. I don't know that we have anybody in major positions that are doing, I mean, not that I'm seeing, it could be happening, I just don't know. Anyway, and then also really releasing the pain of hierarchy and domination and power over is a big piece of what this initiatory journey is about. And then also recognizing we can accomplish far more together than on our own. So powerful. And, it's like my husband Peter likes to say, two people can carry a long way what one person cannot lift. And that's really the essence of what we're talking about here. So when we do it together, we can accomplish so much more than if we're doing it by ourselves.
Absolutely. I think it's really fun that this time around I've had so many more people, even before the class started, saying, I want a Venus buddy. I'm like, I wonder if that reflects the Libra energy in the room.
Yeah,
maybe so. Yeah, that's so powerful. And So I love everything that Kaylin's saying about all of that. And so now to just kind of move into this kind of thinking about what does it mean for Libra to be at the crown chakra, and even just a little bit more about how we can think about the fact that we are at the crown chakra gate, the moment where Inanna is taking off her crown. And so each of us are invited over the course of the next month to really be healing and releasing what stands in the way of our full connection to spirit, any distortions we have at the crown chakra. And one of the things that can show up is that we were raised and it's been in the field for so long that God is male. And even if we weren't raised in a really Christian or a really male-dominated religion, it's still what has been the primary story. And so we might encounter the distortion of that. And, that God is only male, that God does not have the feminine expression. So, of course, that's part of what we might encounter. It's interesting because today I had an energy healing session, and what I was shown and told is that I'm out of balance in the way that I've actually been blocking a connection to the masculine divine. So because I'm so focused on the feminine right now, and it's very interesting. So part of what Libra is here for is to create balance. So it's possible some of you might encounter that as well. But generally speaking, it's for many of us, there's a lot that we can benefit from in really opening our connection to the feminine divine. And so at this Libra cycle, we're going to be asking, what might be any blocks I have to a fully balanced connection to spirit, to divine, to my crown chakra? And I'm not going to read all of these, but here are some other questions that have to do with, if this resonates for you, how has it impacted you to be raised in a modern culture that is where the divine is primarily masculine? So those are just some things to consider if it speaks to you. So, and then in the next, oh, go ahead, Kim, sorry.
One more quick thing is that I've been reading little bits and pieces of the Keys of Enoch from somebody's translation. Just curious about that because, of course, Enoch is shown all the heavens and the all these wild and crazy things. But so much of it has what I was tuning into was how God had to be glorified and demanded it, like in these writings. That if you didn't like sing the praises of this male god, you would be sent to hell for eternity.
Right.
So it's in those writings. I mean, oh my gosh, it's so prevalent there. So it is interesting that I don't know how we work with that, but I just feel like it's time, you know, like if it's really a divine being, do they feel like they need to have people praising them and praying to them and talking about how great they are all the time? It sounds like ego to me. So just interesting.
How is that? Our connection to the divine, is it something that actually helps to support us in stepping into our full authority so we can make our full expression in the world? Or is our connection to the divine something that actually disempowers us and actually gives us maybe an excuse to pass it on or pass it off on something else or someone else?
Right.
So with the crown chakra, there's all kinds of things that can come up for us. It can be that it can feel like a complete separation from the divine. And, may that not be the case for us unless that's what we need. But if that is so for any of you, I would just invite you to consider that if during this journey, if you feel any of that, of like, what is my connection to the divine, to really step into trust that you're being supported in reworking your relationship, and that what's happening is that your old way of connecting to spirit and having this really deep connection to spirit, it's being reworked so that it's even more open, it's more vibrant, the connection is more vibrant, and it's allowing in more of what is truth for you.
Yes.
Love
that. Yeah.
So, anything else, Kaylin?
Nope, I think that's good.
Okay, awesome. All right, so... So one of the things to consider in this cycle, we just mentioned briefly, but it's really essential to think about, is that this is the first Libra cycle after 96 years of having the Scorpio Venus cycle. And so it's a beginning cycle. It's kind of a baby cycle. It's the first time. And it still has quite a bit of connection to Scorpio. So it's going to be influenced by that 96 years of the Scorpio cycles that came before. And, you know, it spends quite a bit of time in Scorpio at the beginning of the cycle. It's going to be December 3rd. That conjunction is when the Moon and Venus are in Scorpio. And so it is, you could think of it as a bridge cycle or a threshold cycle where the leading Libra goddess archetype is being deeply informed by the Scorpio mysteries. So in a way, there is a little bit of a melding of these energies, even though we are very much seeing it as Libra, energizing that collectively, and boy, does our world need that Libra medicine. We also can sense and feel that there is some deep Scorpio medicine also at play that continues to be there, that continues, you know, we will energize collectively that it is helping us to let go of any of the Libra dimensions that don't serve, and that it's the Scorpio that we're needing to help die to our old way of being in relationship. So some of the questions might be, how will the rise of the relational Libra feminine be intensified, energized, and transformed by the Scorpio mysteries? I also like to think that if we're working on the level of personal relationship, love relationship, it's kind of fun because it has to do with this Libra co-creative partnership also being pretty sexy. So I like to think of it that way also.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah, so it brings that life force energy into the equation. And actually not just sexual relationships, not just love relationships, but every relationship, it adds in more aliveness. So we need that. And the way I've been feeling it too is the problem with Libra often in the patriarchal culture is that we step into these roles of wife, girlfriend, partner, and there's no juice there. So how to bring the juice back? How to bring the aliveness back? What does that take? And then how does it support us in confronting and releasing the patriarchal dimensions of Libra, including codependency, rigid ideas about right relationship, and people-pleasing at the expense of authenticity or genuineness?
Yeah, great question. Yeah. So, and then what we're releasing are the habits of conditioning, especially, and this can be true for men and women, of giving away power to an outside male god or an outside authority, some kind of outside authority. And so questions that we could ask this month is, in what areas of my life have I given my power away to a masculine partner, giving up who I am to be with that partner? And what would it take for me to be true to who I am while engaging conscious, co-creative, collaborative relationships with others? So we encourage you to maybe journal around these questions and see what comes up for you. And if you feel inspired, you can share on the Facebook page or send it to us, and we'll share it with the rest of the group as well if you're not on Facebook.
Awesome.
Yeah. So now we're going to start looking at this crown chakra a little more deeply in terms of the date. So just something to remind everyone, that was November 1st when Venus rose as morning star at 29 Libra, first time in 155 years, first time in 251 years, moving from Aries to Libra. And then on November 16th, Venus stationed direct at 25 Libra with Spica. We talked about this in the retrograde video that we did, and those are posted on the class page. You can go back and look at that, and talk a lot more about Spica. And then on December 3rd, coming up very quickly, exact at 1:05 p.m. Pacific time, will be the first gate when Venus and the Moon meet, and the crown is released or removed, or however you like to look at it. So if you look at slide number 22, it's showing around 6 a.m. where the Moon is, where Spica is, where Venus is, and also the star Cambalia. Venus is past that. It's going to pass it one more time. I forget the exact dates on that, but it's happening in the middle of December. And so these are all things that we covered more in depth in that video that we shared back in October. On December 3rd, you can see the Moon is much closer to Venus and still, you know, kind of sitting right between Spica and Cambalia. And then and you can see that that early in the morning, the Moon's at 26 Libra, so it's right with Spica, pretty much with Spica. And then Venus is at 0 Scorpio, and the Moon will catch up within a few hours to Venus on that day, to be exact. But what you'll see in the morning sky, this is so you, when you look out, you see the Moon, you'll see Spica above the Moon, and you probably won't see Cambalia because it's not a strong enough star. I don't think it's a bright enough star, depending on what time of the morning you're looking up. And then just something to note about this particular Venus cycle, or this Venus, is Venus will be exactly opposite, or almost exactly opposite Uranus. In fact, the exact opposition is November 30th. But it, you know, because Uranus moves so slow and Venus isn't moving that fast yet, that they stay kind of in opposition for several days. So this Venus Moon gate is featuring the opposition of Uranus. And if you look at slide 24, you see the lion leaping between two things in that liminal space, right? And the thing about Uranus is it is a change agent. So unexpected events may feel like they're setting you back, when in reality they're setting you up for your next big leap. It's all about perspective. So Uranus reminds us that it's about our perspective. So what we look at when we're looking at something as maybe really awful and terrible or challenging or difficult that we're going through right now, it may be just exactly what it is that's taking us into the next octave of wherever it is we're going. And then on slide 25, we have...
Yeah. I just want to say, can I say something about that really fast?
Sure.
Just that it's so funny. I was doing a little dream work with a friend who was in our class actually last night, and she was telling me last night about a dream she had where there was a mountain lion leaping, like jumping through the air. And also yesterday morning, my sister was here visiting where I live in Deerland, Missouri, in the rural, like, in a very country area. And they heard a mountain lion in the morning just as Venus was rising. And stopped, like, track, we think. Yeah. Anyway. So.
Wow, that's amazing. So, you know, and
so Sekhmet really wants to be part of this.
Right. Oh, wow, that's awesome. So, Slide number 25, you can look at, but this is also something that was shared in the video that we did on the Venus retrograde and talking about Kambalia, the star of secret knowledge, and Spica is the stand-in for Venus when Venus is not in the sky, but now they happen to be together. It's as the cycle begins. And so it's pretty powerful what we're seeing going on in the sky, and just going out and tuning in and allowing them to help inform you is something that we highly recommend. I have a good view of the eastern sky, so I can just open up my window in the morning, open up the curtains in the window, and look out and see Venus and Spica. It's been so spectacular. So we encourage you to check that out, especially when the moon is there, because that will add to the magic of that. So then slide number 26, December 4th, the moon will have moved past Venus and Kambalia and will be sitting between Venus and Zubin al-Janubi, the star of the scales. And I did put in the Sagittarius new moon on December 6th, happening right after the Venus moon gate, and Mercury is stationing direct that day. Yay. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about that. But on slide number 28, again, it's just that reminder. I left this slide in here just to remind people to check out that video. And then there's some dates here on slide number 29, and it's also showing a different way of looking at the moon coming down to be with Venus over from December 2nd to December 5th. And Mercury is going to be moving up into the morning sky. And Jupiter will also be moving into the morning sky. And by the solstice, and this is the one that I feel is probably the most significant, is that Venus will be at 15 Scorpio, right with Zubin al-Janubi, on the day of the solstice, and Jupiter and Mercury are going to be within 1 degree of Antares and within 1 degree of each other. I mean, they'll be with near Antares within 1 degree of each other. That's what I'm trying to say. Anyway, yeah. So that's that. On to the Libra goddess at the crown chakra.
Okay. So every time we go through a new gate, we're going to also explore how it feels for Venus as the Libra metagoddess to be moving through the different signs. What's the energy that we're going through at these chakra gates? So with this one, she's of course releasing her connection or anything that stands in the way of her full connection to her true divinity. And she's also with releasing any distorted relational concepts as a way to maintain the cosmic order. And she's releasing distortions connected to her relationship with herself, with nature, with a beloved other, and a round table of possible collaborators. And also considering the Scorpio dimension to this, she gives herself permission to feel her deepest feelings of, grief, anger, and rage that has prevented her from feeling and experiencing ecstatic, blissful life force. She may be also feeling perhaps some of the rage. This may be part of what comes up, that begins to come up. Is any of that anger or deep feeling around the way that the feminine has been met by the patriarchy when she does show up wanting equal conscious partnership and that hasn't been available to her, the ways that that has not been available within a patriarchal frame? So it could be that feelings come up around that for you personally or for you feeling it for the collective. And she is releasing all that prevents her from embracing the life-death-life cycle of the Earth realm, again, because she's moving through Scorpio. So,
beautiful.
Yeah. So now every time we meet, we'll have home play. So we'll have things that you can do, different practices that you might want to do. So just, you know, generally we talked about this a little bit in the ceremonial work. If something really speaks to you, like, yes, 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 I want to do that, do that. If something you feel really resistant to, well, look at that again, too. If there's energy around it, consider it. And again, don't feel bad if you can't do all this every time. I mean, again, it could be that you just listen to every class, and maybe you listen to a meditation, and that's great for you. But we do know that the more you put into it, the more you get out. So we would encourage you to consider some of these. And this time, we have the, it's so exciting because we're working on our Venus altars. And again, it may take time to create yours. I know Kaylin and I are both in the middle of ours. Venus journal, it's great to get a new one and to start really tracking your insights there. And Morningstar Buddy, I'm going to be sending out a link where everyone can give their information if they want a buddy. And so I can begin to match people hopefully this week. Possibly it's going to take maybe another week, but hopefully this week we'll get buddies matched up. So you might want to have a first gathering connection with them. And then always to spend time with Venus and the Moon in the morning sky. So we recommend that. And working with the questions that we that come up for you in this area. And then the listening maybe to the chakras meditation if you're able. And that is, the intent of that is to help you, again, to go through each of the layers and assess where you're at with each of your chakras to start. And Kaylin's guided meditation is so powerful, of releasing at the crown chakra. We always recommend that. And introducing yourself in the Facebook page. It's so amazing what that does when you open yourself up and say, this is me, this is where I'm at, and name what brought you to the class, what your intent is, and anything else you feel is relevant. So, yeah.
Beautiful. And so we're just going to quickly go through these next few slides. I created, this is my, on slide number 32, it is a vision board I did for my Venus. And so I happened to run across it as I was putting together my Venus altar, and I was like, huh, maybe I should share this because it's a great, great way. And also, and I didn't know, and again, I, like I said, I think that the Libra Mysteries was working me. There's the two people dancing over on the right side. That relational dance kind of piece that I was energizing. And I created this, gosh, I think it might have been back in 2012, something like that.
Was it right before you met Peter?
No, I had already met Peter.
Okay, right.
No, but, I was, you know, anyway, I was encouraging people to make their own vision board, and so I did one too, just to be kind of part of that. So I put that on my altar, and then the next slide, 33, is also one I'm missing a picture from it, but this is a combination of my Scorpio meta goddess with my Venus in Aries, and you see the mission there. There's a place in Tucson called the Santa Vera Mission, and I always think of Aries as being on a mission. Anyway, so I put that on my altar. And then I slide number 34 shows you with the two vision boards on the altar, along with my a few other things that I have there at the moment, just to give you some inspiration. And then on slide number 35, we have Tammy's altar, and she can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, just really quickly, what I'm doing this time, and sometimes this is what I'll do, is I have one main altar, and then I will add elements when the Venus cycle, you know, having to do with the Venus cycle. So at the center, this girl in the center where there's a candle, that is my Gemini meta goddess. She is my magical feminine. So she kind of presides over everything. And then it's the seventh chakra candle. I often change the candles out at each of the gates. And just a couple other thematic things. I've got the sacred masculine over on one side. That's the horned god. He's my Mars in Scorpio. And then I've got Sekhmet because she does represent also the divine feminine. I think I need a Tara statue also because I have Sagittarius Venus. But I have those different elements, and then I have the Lover's card at the center because I am working on the sacred marriage and also wanting to energize a different form of in a right relationship for myself, a shift in a change in the way I relate to the masculine. So those are just a few little pieces that relate to this Venus journey for me. And yours can look very different. They can look, this is what's so cool. We can do it in a million ways, but these are just a couple ideas.
Yeah, you can see Tammy's and my altar are very different. So there's no one right way to do it. Yeah. So on slide number 36, we have some examples of crowns. And on the left-hand side at the top, there's a gold crown at the center of the altar, and this was actually a picture we took in Faywood at Faywood Hot Springs when we did a crowning ceremony at the recovery of the crown chakra. So we place the gold crown at the center of the altar. And but you know, you are certainly not limited to any of these examples here, just to kind of inspire your own thinking. And then the rest of the slides are really intended to give you some images of what you might work with when we do the Venus and Sky Temple journeys, just for the, because sometimes some people need help with the images, so we included those. And then there's some additional resources. And you, if you don't have a natal chart, if you don't know your all your information, you can, there's a link to go to a, get a free chart.
So, and, by the way, we are on the last slide now, 43. We just had to zoom yeah. up because we're getting late.
Yeah. We're trying to speed this along here. Anyway, so I think now we might be ready for the crown chakra, for the Venus temple and the Sky temple journey. So yeah. Anything we need to say before we do that?
I think that's okay. Perfect.
All right, so just, you know, some of you have heard this before, but, you know, we're going to try to say, try to just give you the background really quickly here. We're going to move quickly to each temple for our ceremonies, and some people might prefer to go slower, but especially, and might benefit from having more time, but we don't have that today, so we're just going to go quickly. And just know that whatever you get in the journey, it's going to be perfect. The energies of the ceremonies that we're doing here will continue working with us throughout the cycle, so not to worry. And you can always come back and listen and maybe pause if you need to do that.
Also, we have been visiting these sites now for, I think, almost 4 years, so they're real. And you might see us there with you.
Right. So, and then you might have a, if you have a Venus journal, have that handy or something to write on, because as we journey, sometimes there's images or things that you want to capture, ahas or moments or something. So also, always the reminder not to listen to this while you're driving or doing anything that requires your full attention. And ideally, being in a quiet place where you're not going to be interrupted. And then there are some people who journey best if they can move. Drum or rattle or dance or sway. We tried doing drumming, but the audio gets weirded out for some reason, so we gave that up. Anyway, but do whatever works for you. And keep in mind that it's important to allow your focus and attention to be with both of the journeys. So whatever works for you to do that, do that. So we're going to begin. So I just invite everyone to get comfortable. If you want to close your eyes or cover your eyes in some way to maintain your focus, begin breathing deeply into your belly. And imagining as you're breathing into your belly that a beautiful violet light is entering through your crown chakra and filling your entire body. And as this is occurring, allow yourself a moment to ask your grandmother guide or guides, along with any other personal guides or allies and teachers, to join you as you travel to the Venus Temple. So imagine you're leaving the room or place you're in, traveling through the dimensions, into the magical, mystical places that are most aligned for you. And continue traveling on until you see the welcoming golden glow that surrounds the Venus Temple. And as you arrive on the temple steps, notice the circle of grandmothers that are welcoming you with their joyous presence. And a beautiful, wise grandmother steps forward to prepare you for the ceremony. You notice the wonderful smell of burning sage, and this wise grandmother begins smudging and cleansing you with her sage bundle and eagle feather, and she spreads the cleansing smoke around your body, and you feel, as she's doing this, any tension, any worry, any stress leaving you as the smoke clears your energy field. And once the smudging is complete, you're invited to enter the temple courtyard where the Venus altar awaits. So entering the courtyard, you hear the gentle sound of water flowing in the temple fountain, and you see the crystal clear water flowing easily over the stones into the pool below, and you feel a relaxed anticipation as you enter the sacred space. And approaching the raised platform in the center of the courtyard where the Venus altar sits, you notice the beauty of the altar with all the many offerings of those who have been here at an earlier time. There are fresh flowers and candles and incense and other objects and offerings from previous ceremonies. And you see also the exquisite five-pointed star mosaic at the center of the altar that seems to be alive with energy and light as the candles flicker and dance their light upon the altar. So as you approach the altar, join hands with your Venus brothers and sisters and notice the joyous song of the grandmothers joining the circle to invite in sacred space, including the great spirit that lives in all things, the elements and their directions, including earth, our body, air, our breath, water, our feelings, and fire, our energy, expressing gratitude for their life-giving properties. And the grandmothers continue singing their praises to the mysteries of the great above, the planets and all the starry beings that are here to support our Venus journey from the great above to the great below and back again. And for all who have gathered with great courage as we embrace this transformative journey and willingness to undergo this powerful initiation of death and rebirth. And now you see before you a beautiful goddess shining with great love and compassion as she reaches to the top of your head, pulling from you all the energetic distortions and all that is not of your true divine essence from your crown chakra. She places this distorted energy into a transformational cauldron she has brought with her and transforms all the lower vibrational energies, all the negative beliefs and traumas, hurt and pain that you have ever experienced in this or any other lifetime. And they are easily transformed into the higher vibrational energies of love and above. And when complete, this beautiful goddess then gazes lovingly into your eyes, speaking these words of power. Beloved one, together we have begun your crown chakra clearing, releasing whatever energies that are not who you really are, including any misalignments and old beliefs around your sacred connection with the divine, including any projected judgments from others that you took to be true. They are not and never have been true. You have always been whole and complete, even when you may have believed you were less than whole. What we have done here is a jumpstart for continuing to release and restore your rightful pure connection to your divine authority and guidance. There is nothing more you need to do other than commit to being present and surrendering to this release of every false notion and misunderstanding that has ever been part of your experience until now. And trust what comes up for you as you go forward from this time. Trust the release is continuing to transform every false thought, every false belief, every false construct of your perceived reality. If you have ever felt depressed, hopeless, frustrated, or afraid, and these feelings come up for you, embrace them and allow them to move through your being, imagining the violet flame is cleansing and clearing it all away while continually filling your crown chakra with its pure energy and light. Yes, it will take more time to release all the old destructive habits and behavior patterns that may have left you feeling exhausted, out of balance, uninspired, critical of yourself and critical of others. Know that these experiences have given you wisdom and otherwise would not know and have brought you to this moment, even though you have never been who you truly are, even though they have never been who you truly are. Still, they have served their purpose, and it's time for them to be dissolved and reformulated into the light of the divine that you have always been, even when you didn't remember that. Yes, it may take time to establish new, healthier patterns of behavior and to realize the gifts that are within these experiences for you. Know you are deeply loved, and know you are not alone in this sacred journey. Know your courage is supporting you, and all is exactly what it needs to be. Now the goddess invites you to look upon the altar for a helpful message or talisman, some symbol or image that can guide you through this chakra gate, and entire journey. You may not fully understand this message right away, but it is intended to guide you and support you as you continue your descent. So what is your message or symbol? Are you willing to share this message with our Venus Circle? Perhaps on Facebook, or if we have time, maybe in the Q&A, or email to Kaylin and Tammy. Once you have the essence of the message, thank the goddess before you for her immense love and all she has given you. Give thanks to the Venus Altar and Venus Temple, and know that it is always available to you throughout this journey. Now it is time to return to the temple steps for our journey to the Sky Temple.
And now as you find yourself on the temple steps, you look out to see a great forest filled with enormous and ancient trees, and you see a small path leading through that forest, and you take that path, and you follow it through the winding forest, and you see that the light is beginning to dim, and as you walk, it becomes darker and darker until you can hardly see the path in front of your feet, and suddenly you see a bright light appear out of nowhere, as if it's just a globe, a ball of shimmering light. And this light bounces and dances before you and lights the path until you come into a great clearing. And when you do, you look out and you see a deep pool. You see first that it has become quite dark. It is late into the night. Night has fallen, and you see a pool, a deep pool of water with lotus blossoms along the edges. Night has fallen, and the pool's smooth, dark surface. You see the reflection of fireflies flashing and glowing like a million living stars. The scent of jasmine drifts through the air, and you feel the warmth of the air, and it is perfect. And off in the distance, you hear the night sounds of owls hooting, perhaps, and maybe the sound also of crickets or other night insects. A spiraling staircase, which is ascending far up into the heavens until it disappears far, far above into a bank of clouds. The steps emit a silvery, luminescent glow as though they are composed of starlight. You know that these steps will take you to the Sky Temple. You see a dark, winged shape fly in front of you toward the staircase, and it is Owl, and you follow the owl flying up the stairs ahead of you, beginning your ascent. It feels as though a larger force is pulling you up and causing you to ascend with ease and surprising speed. The pool of water in the forest grow ever smaller beneath you as you approach the dense layer of blue-gray clouds above. And finally, you find yourself passing through this thick fog of clouds. You emerge from the cloudy mist to find yourself standing once again upon solid earth, but now everything feels different. It feels sharper, brighter, more luminous, kind of like when you've had a dream where everything feels more real than real. You have arrived at the Sky Temple. From here, it is though you are inside the living sky with the stars, the crescent moon, and the planets above and below, blazing brilliantly and close, as though you could touch them with your fingertips. Surveying the landscape that spreads out before you, you see every imaginable type of sacred stone structure, consecrating the marriage between earth and sky. You see pyramids, kivas, medicine wheels, chambered cairns, observatories, petroglyphs, and you know they are all aligned with the cycles of the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets. You see stone circles mirroring the belts of Orion, the Great Bear constellation, Cygnus, the Swan, and star shapes and patterns unknown to you. You see stone outcroppings with petroglyphs and mountains surrounding, and know they too are aligned to the as above, so below mysteries. Directly in front of you stretches a great river whose sinuous curves appear to move like the undulating of a great snake. In the black sky directly above, the thick band of the Milky Way rises up as if to mirror this great river. You follow the Milky Way upward and suddenly recognize the form of a beautiful woman, black as night, shimmering with a million stars, and whose vast body is arched above you and encompasses the heavens. You realize this is Nut, mother of Isis, Osiris, and you know when you visit the Sky Temple, you are held in her loving and expansive embrace. As you look upon beautiful Nut, you feel the earth tremble beneath your feet, and you sense the alive presence of Geb, Earth Father, beloved of Nut. You know that the great love between masculine and feminine and between earth and sky stirs between them as it stirs in your blood, as it stirs at the core of all creation. As you gaze upon Nut, she begins to take clearer form and suddenly stands before you, a great and powerful goddess, black as night, her dark skin glowing with starry light. Upon her head is an urn filled with a negredo, the black stuff of creation, from which are born new stars, new galaxies, new worlds, you and me. As you gaze in awe at her beauty, suddenly a rushing sound fills the air as Nut unfurls her great wings. Nut, this mother of creation, gazes at you with dark and timeless eyes, lit up with the joyful bright light of newborn stars. She reaches into her urn, and you see that she is pulling out a milky white glimmering substance. She takes this substance, bright nectar of the heavens, and anoints your crown chakra. As she anoints you with the palm of her starry hand, you feel your crown chakra, which has already been opened and fully cleared by the Libra goddess in the Venus temple. And now you may see that if there are any other obstructions, which you may sense or see as dark energies blocking you from a full connection with the divine feminine and divine masculine energies, that is cleared. You sense and see now that your crown chakra is linked with the pulsing silvery beams of light emanating from certain planets and stars, including the sun and the moon. These light-filled beams connect you to the original blueprint of your soul's intention for this lifetime. They reignite you with the remembrance of your soul's deepest longing for what you are to experience and express on this earth walk. You may experience this soul remembrance as images of yourself in the past or future, moments where you were fully embodying and acting from your soul's truth and purpose. You may receive messages through words written or spoken by Nut herself, to communicate through specific stars, planets, the sun, or moon. Whatever you have seen or felt, know it is perfect for you. Know that in the months to come, in precisely the right timing for you, more of the wisdom and insight from these transmissions will be revealed. And now your initiation with Nut has come to an end. She smiles at you and winks, as if the two of you are in on some glorious secret. You see her once more rise and merge with the Milky Way, and you admire her beautiful body arching above, encompassing, nourishing the cosmos. You feel a slight stirring at your crown chakra as the silvery beams dissipate, and you know that their work has been done. And you are now deeply and forever attuned to the messages of the stars, planets, sun, and moon as they lovingly support and guide you on your soul's path. And now your Sky Temple journey is complete. Say goodbye and give your gratitude to Nut, to Geb, and all the celestial beings. Begin your descent down into the clouds, down the staircase, this time down into your body, back into present time, back into the room where we began. After you've come out of this meditation, take a moment to journal or draw any guidance you receive from your initiation with Nut and your visit to the Sky Temple, as well as any insights you gained with your visit to the Venus Temple and the Grandmothers and the Libra Goddess. As you develop a relationship with the Sky Temple and its landscape by listening to this guided journey, as well as the Venus Temple and its landscape, you will ultimately be able to return on your own at any time to consult with the goddess in the Venus temple and with the planets, stars, sun, and moon as sources of loving wisdom and guidance along your path.
So we're just a little bit over our time here, but I think maybe we could open it up for a couple of questions or comments. If anybody wants to jump in, you can press star six, and we'll take a couple of those, and then we'll wrap this up. And if nobody jumps in, because nobody has, we'll just wrap this up.
Yeah, which is fine, because that was a lot. It is a lot.
It was a lot
to absorb. A lot. Just know that this is the one that just has way more than any others, and so, and know that you are going to absorb whatever is most essential, and that we can even shake off if it's too much light, too much information. You may even get up after this and stand up and shake off whatever is too much for you. You may get a good big drink of water. You might ground by going outside and looking at the sky. But this is something where you're getting exactly the information and insight that you need. So do we have any other, Kaylin? Any calls?
No, no questions. So okay. I think we'll just wrap it up and just want to say thank you to everybody for being here. We've had quite a crew on tonight. And I know there were people that couldn't be on tonight that will be listening to the replay, and that the energy, the sacred space, everything is will be contained within the recording whenever you, if you re-listen to it or you are listening to it for the first time, it's all there.
Yes.
Yes. So thank you. And our next class will be December 27th. We're very excited that begin preparing for that right away. So if you have anything you want to share on Facebook, if you aren't on Facebook yet, there have been a lot of invitations that still haven't been responded to, but also if you need for us to connect with us, because if we're not friends with you, we can't invite you to the page. So make sure that we can make sure that that you can get on. And anything else, Tammy?
That sounds like everything that's most important.
All right. Awesome. So thank you, everybody. Okay. We'll connect with you over the month, and happy crown chakra.
Yes. So excited to be with all of you. Have a beautiful, beautiful month. And definitely connect on Facebook and connect with us all.
Yeah. And I'll post a link to the recording. I can do that on Facebook tonight, but the link to the recording on the class page will happen sometime tomorrow. So awesome. Bye, everyone.
Good night.